IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, the program Viewpoints. I am Atal, the host of this program. Said Mahdi and Sister Zainab are over here. Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Welcome. Thank you. And Said Mahdi, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you? Good.
So, on the dawn of February 28, 2026, the US and Israel launched the joint operations, called them Roaring Lion and the Epic Fury, with the primary goal of physically eliminating Iran's leadership and causing the system's collapse. They have killed military commanders, a rahbar, a leader. We can't say even killing civilians. And they thought that with this collapse and with, decapitation, I think they call it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Operation, they can delete this system, Islamic Republic of Iran, and then choose their own leaders, come into Iran, control everything. A kind of regime change they thought they will happen. But according to the documents, this didn't take place. The leadership went on, and the world was shocked that the first, second, or maybe the third class type of the leadership of Iran is deleted completely, and they are still going on. How is it possible? I mean, how is it possible? Sister Zainab, let's go. Start with you.
Yeah, well, look, there's so many aspects to that, and I'll probably just mention two. Well, the most important one is, you know, no matter what they do, Allah is in charge. Mm-hmm. And so, but I'll leave that to the side. So
yes,
I'll just
okay.
focus on two specific aspects. So one is more the sort of technical thing in terms of, many people who have written about sort of warfare, like the art of war, basically. And people have commented how, for example, Anglo-Saxon forces, which is UK and US forces. So if you take out their leaders, and obviously this is, they're reading the wrong books in the US, apparently. So if you take out the leaders, and I think they noticed this in the Second World War, that if the commanders are gone, then the troops are sort of a bit helpless and they don't know what to do, literally. Mm-hmm. But they then looked at the command structure and said, well, they were focusing, for example, on the command structure in the German army. And they said, no, it's different. So people can step up. Mm-hmm. And of course, the master of this is the Islamic Republic of Iran. Mm-hmm. We saw this obviously in the first imposed war and the Holy Defense. And so many martyrs were given there. But that doesn't sort of, in a sense, make a difference because anyone else can then step up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. So it makes no difference technically on the ground if some of the commanders go, because then we have other people immediately replace that position. But the other aspect is, of course, the martyrdom in Islam, especially amongst
the culture
Shia.
Of martyrdom, that's right.
It produces a particular fervor and determination, and it inspires people and makes, in a sense, gives them even more strength. So by giving lots of martyrs during the Holy Defense, people again and again say this is what cemented the Islamic Republic of Iran.
That's right.
And of course, now in the Third Imposed War, so many martyrs, very senior martyrs, have been given. So we can only imagine how much more this is cementing the Islamic Republic of Iran for the third time, in a sense.
Very good. That's right. So, I mean, this physical decapitation, Sayyid, it doesn't work with this culture. Does it work with their own culture? I mean, if somebody is deleted over there, a commander or something, they will lose power, control. Is it, individual based? And in Iran, or for example, Islamic Republic of Iran and their operation, we could see it is rather a kind of system based rather than individual based, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, historically, even if you look at the ancient wars in the history of the Muslims, usually when you kill the champion of the opposing army, that would usually end the war. Mm-hmm. You know, so Battle of Badr and Uhud and Khaybar and all of these Khandaq, all of these major battles, even in the early era of Islam, as the sister said, that even in World War One and Two. If they took out the leaders, they took out the champions, and that would effectively mean that the other side has lost. in the early battles of Muslims as well, you'll find that if they killed the flag bearer,
yes,
that too would signal that
the army is down,
and people would kind of just give up. Here, it's really interesting that definitely Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei was not only the champion of the Islamic Republic of Iran and of West Asia, but he was also a great champion of the world. And as more people start to research about him and read about his life and listen and read his statements and his words, it will become more and more clear how much of a champion he was for all of humanity. Mm-hmm. So this was a huge strike, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
This decapitation strike, and that's exactly what they called it. A few days before they martyred Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei, I ran across an article where they said one of the options was decapitation strike, meaning you cut the head off.
Yes.
And so it was a very serious thing, a very heavy thing that happened to the Islamic Republic of Iran.
The head was gone, but the body was still working.
So
how is it possible? Let's talk about the possibility.
This is called something, it's like an institutionalized leadership model, right, which is going on. So mm-hmm. it's not based on one individual. There's a whole system there, which is a deep-rooted system. And it, like the sister said, from the time of the sacred defense, they had been making these plans that if there are a massive decapitation strike, that the system continues, to work, that leadership is able to be replaced, you know. And the sacred defense and at the hands of the MKO, they lost thousands of individuals who were very important figures.
From early days of Anqalab,
from the early
revolution,
days, Shahid Rajai, Shahid Beheshti, Shahid Bahonar, one is a president, one
more
is
than
judiciary.
72 of the Jumhuriya Islami Party, Islamic Revolution Party were martyred. Imposed war, and then, for example, Shahid Mutahhari, and so many other people, you know, until now, okay? During the 8th imposed Baath War against Iran, we lost so many of our commanders, good, you know, genius commanders, young ones.
And it's this institutionalized leadership model that has really helped them to survive and so quickly, get back on their feet.
Yes. And the next rahbar and the leader is selected by the Assembly of the Experts of Islamic Republic of Iran. It has its own role. And, you know, it's really shocking that it's been 2 months, I think, that the new leader is selected. He has not been on the video or an audio or something, but he's still commanding. So command paralysis, what was there, they were after, did not work. Like a Venezuela thing, for example, we take out the leader and then the oil is ours. So this type of, we can say, leadership, I think is an exception in the world. I mean, no political system you could find such a thing, that the main leader is gone, is killed, or senior commanders are gone, nuclear scientists, and the system starts to go on. And give it a kind of rebirth. I mean, rebirth from every organs of the society and the commanding part.
And as you said, brother, there obviously, so it's as if the head is gone, but the body is there.
The body's gone.
And when we think, when we sort of remember what it was like in the year when we actually received the news of the Akhbar becoming a martyr, and obviously the people were shocked. And I remember from one of my friends was really devastated. She's actually currently outside of Iran. And can't get in at the moment, but then it changed. So of course the grief comes out. The grief must pour out. But then it changed, and even and somehow she herself changed. So there was a, in a sense, also reinvigorated and very much empowered for this of what is happening now and for the victory. So that's the one thing that you. And obviously, and there's so many aspects to this, the fact that Rahba was martyred, because also it's people who were maybe a little bit, not so close to, let's say, the Rahba, obviously everyone knew about him, but maybe didn't have this huge love. So people turned more and more towards him. So when we see people that we would not always associate with, be really loving Rahba in that way. We see them interviewed on the
people
streets.
Who have been brainwashed by the many, especially the Persian ones, the arrogant Persian ones outside Iran. Under the shadow of inflation and all these economic pressures and the problems, okay, the chaos and the riots that we could see on the streets, you know, and on that time, Donald Trump has said that we equipped them with the weapons. MKO said we equipped them with the weapons. Mossad said our agents were in the riots among the people of Iran. So who is killing who? It was not clear. And then the wrong, fake statistics of the people who were being killed, all of them. And all of a sudden, Rahbar's blood is like a new blood in the veins of the Islamic Republic of Iran system. The gray part of the society, so 50-50 ones, now are loving the leaders more. And this is what the blood of the true men of God work in the critical moments. It was an end to the strategic patience of Iran, Said Mehdi. Can you define a strategic patience for us? I mean, for 50 years, we were by a strategic patience going on. What does it mean?
So I believe that the strategic patience is one of the statements of Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke about strategic patience. I'm not sure what the Farsi equivalent is, but he used to speak about this. And that strategic patience, I mean, is
sabr rahbordi.
Yes,
istiqamat rahbordi.
Istiqamat. Yeah. It was interesting because, of course, a lot can be said about it. But I think, you know, primarily it's this patience, which I guess is strategic. That's the only way to explain it.
Yes.
You know, and so it's not a patience out of helplessness, let's say.
Very good.
It's not a patience out of being hopeless. It's not a patience of
out of weakness.
Out of weakness, of being handicapped or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a patience of having the moral high ground.
Very good.
And deciding to look over small, insignificant events for a much larger cause and a bird's eye view.
Yes.
So like I said, it's a pretty profound thing, the strategic patience.
Mm-hmm.
And Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he not only showed this strategic patience against America and Israel, but even these traitorous Arab leaders in the Persian Gulf region who were building military bases, you know. But that strategic patience doesn't mean that he didn't do anything. He was constantly talking on both of these fronts, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, if you will, in the region, and American Israel. He was constantly telling them.
He has warned them on different occasions.
He was warned, and as time moved on, he was warning them much more seriously. To the point where in his last speech, or the second before last speech, he said, listen, you want to send warships over here? Just keep in mind that the weapon that can sink the warship is
more dangerous
than your dangerous warship. You know, I mean, that was clearly. And he also said that the next war is going to be a region-wide war.
Yes.
So
the region will be on fire, he said.
It's going to be a region-wide war.
Right.
So it shows you that it doesn't mean that, you know, Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei had strategic patience and Imam Mujtaba Khamenei doesn't have strategic patience. No, this was one plan that was coming. And it was just a matter of fact that at the appropriate time that these actions are going to be taken.
Yes.
I honestly, because even if they hadn't martyred and killed Shahid Sayyid Ali Khamenei, if they had done this kind of an attack, because Shahid Khamenei said it's going to be a region-wide war, even if he was alive, they would have done this region-wide war.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because the enemy of Islam has decided to attack it in this way. I mean, the operations were over there. Habibi could take this president, I mean, this dumb president, into the war with Iran. So he was successful, but the system is going on. Iran's system has a leap after the martyrdom. It is, we can't say survived. It's going on successfully by the help of the people who show all these gatherings over the nights on the streets in the main squares of the cities, you know, chanting in support of the new leader and their system. And really, these people are the backbone of the system. As Shahid Rahbar used to say, "Mardom mab'us mishavan." I mean, this is a big sentence. I mean, the prophets are going to be sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes the people are sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because mab'us is only used for the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these weak words, okay. Alhamdulillah that you have such good people.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a minute or two.
A minute, that's right.
A lot of people, unfortunately, inside Iran and outside of Iran, They have really underestimated the Iranian people.
Yes.
Shahid Khamenei, he always had very good and positive words, and he praised the Iranian people.
Yes.
And he would always say that the enemies of Iran, they do not correctly understand the Iranian people.
Iranian
this is why they keep on making mistakes.
Okay.
And in these last 50 nights, the Iranian people have really proved every single thing that Shahid Khamenei had said about them. That they really have gone above and beyond anybody's imaginations in supporting this system.
This is our heritage, brother. As an Iranian, I would like to say that during the history of the Persian Iranian lands, you know, under attacks, we become more united. This is the culture of the Iranians. Sister Zainab, anything missed?
Yeah, I'll just add one thing. Okay. I think this is something that Shahid Rahba actually said, that there was this sense that before his martyrdom, people all relied on him.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, and I think, and the comment was that, you know, one, now people understand that now they're trusting in Allah.
Yes, very good.
Then people are not helpless.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has understood, yeah, we can achieve everything. We just put our trust in Allah.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Zainab Said Mehdi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic, the secret to Iran's survival and leap after the martyrdom of the leader and its commanders. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for being with us with the program Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.